Today is the day of decision. God is calling men, women, boys, and girls throughout the earth to a decision as to who they will serve. God is sorting things out. Amen. He is separating the sheep from the goats, and He will have a church that is holy without spot or blemish. He's going to have a people. Amen. He's coming not for a prostitute, but for a bride that has kept herself and that has been purified, amen, in the precious blood of Jesus, that has kept her garments white. That means that she has not defiled herself, okay, with the world, all right, but that she has set herself apart for Him. You know, a bride in Jewish culture, Hebrew culture, would be usually up to 2 years of preparation for the wedding. And she would go through a series of ceremonial washings and all kinds of perfumes and body, you know, treatments and skin treatments. And so that when her wedding day came, she was ready to go. She was beautiful. She was presentable to the groom. And the Lord told us that He's going away. Amen. To prepare a place for us. You see, it was the groom's responsibility to go and to prepare a home, a house. He would go back to his father's house and prepare a home for his bride. And at the appointed time of the father, he would go and he would get his bride. And he would bring his bride to where he was. Do you see? He says, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you, right? But we know it is true. He says, I've gone away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So the Lord has gone away, and in this time we're in that right now is a time of preparation for the coming of the bridegroom, who's coming for his bride, his church, without spot or blemish. Are you hearing me? God is working in us right now. He's purifying his people, making us holy and presentable unto Jesus, amen, in that day. He's coming for those who are looking for him. And when we lift the cup of communion, we are saying, Lord, I have given myself over to you. I have accepted your invitation to be married to you. Amen. I'm a spouse to you. I say yes to the agreement, the contract in your blood, that I'm no longer my own, but I belong to you. I am now your property and you belong to me. We are in covenant. Amen. And this is what's going on when we celebrate communion. It's like a renewing of vows and once again a pledge of our faith anew to Him. Amen. As we anticipate His return at any time, that the Father determines, it's now time, son, go get your bride. Go get your children. You understand? We are to be ready for that day comes. And there are going to be many who are asleep. There are going to be many who are not expecting. Because Jesus said, I am coming in an hour when you think not. Yes. Yes. Amen. So that means we need to be awake. And so the bride would sleep even in her bridal garment, because she had to be ready. When the call came out, the bridegroom comes. And she had to be ready to respond. Are you hearing me? And the bridesmaids would all have to have their oil, didn't they? They had to be prepared also to be in the procession as they would enter into the bridal chamber. You see, there's coming a great celebration, amen, when the bride and the bridegroom are reunited in the kingdom, hallelujah. And we enter into this thing called the wedding supper of the Lamb, where we shall sit down with Jesus, amen, at his table, hallelujah. All the redeemed of all the generations, of all the nations, the tribes, the kindred, the tongue, amen, are going to come together in that day. And that's why the Lord has been very patient, not willing that anyone should perish. Amen. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He has to have patience. Amen. Knowing that there's a season. Amen. Of preparation. A season for that seed. Amen. To come to a place of fruition. And God wants his people, you and I, amen, to bear fruit while we're here. See, God saves us so that we reproduce. When you are mature, you're able to reproduce. Amen? God wants his people to grow up so that we're in a place where we're reproducing. We're bearing fruit. What is the fruit? It's the fruit of God. It's the fruit of the Spirit that the world needs, that the people need. And God's looking for a vessel. He's looking for someone who will be yielded and willing to be a vessel for him that he can work through. Amen. Come on. That he can touch through, that he can heal through, that he can bring deliverance through. In the earth realm, as we have been redeemed, as we have been delivered, as we have been healed. Amen. Now he sets us up in a position to go and do likewise for others who are in the same boat we used to be in. You see, when our obedience comes to completion, in the areas where we have victory, we are now in a position to help others who are struggling in the area where we once struggled. And we're learning this thing called empathy by the things that we suffer as well. Come on, we have to taste the suffering, don't we, in this world? So that we can have empathy and understand that, hey, I know what it's like. Jesus suffered for us. He suffered like no man. But he understands our weakness. He understands our struggle. He understands what it's like to be human. And the good news is that Jesus was without sin. He never sinned. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, slain for us. Amen. He was our substitute. He took our place. He paid the price we deserve to pay. And so today we are living in that period of time between, you know, his first coming and his second coming. And so the Lord has given us the call to go and to preach the gospel of the kingdom into all the nations. Amen. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all nations as a witness, and then the end shall come. Today we are living in that time. As the bride of Christ, we are also the vessels of the Lord that he has chosen to work through. Hallelujah. And God knows every flaw. He knows your weakness. He knows every time you stumble. Amen. So the best thing we can do is say, Lord, you see it all. You know it all. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Just be honest, it's called, right? Because God already knows. Amen. And he'll give his grace to the humble. He'll give his grace, his ability to the people that are saying, Lord, I don't have it all together. Because the truth is we don't without him. You can't hold it together without him. You can't do it without him. You can't be a Christian without Christ. Some people are trying to be. It's a relationship, isn't it? Between a bride and a bridegroom. How many know that the day of grace is running out? Today, the Bible says, this time, this season, this dispensation is the day of salvation. Where God is allowing people the opportunity to be saved. The title of the message today is the day of decision. Today is the day of decision. I don't like talking about myself, but sometimes I need to share what God has done in my life with others. And I can tell you, I know what it is to have false repentance, and I know what it is to have real repentance. I know what it is to be sorry about my sin and sorry that I got in trouble or sorry that I could get in bigger trouble if I don't do something about it. Amen? But then there's this godly sorrow that works towards repentance. It means I'm sorry enough to where I'm not going to go back and repeat it anymore. I'm done with that way of life. Amen. I have died to my old life. I'm now going to walk a new life. When a person truly repents, their entire life is lived differently. They no longer live according to the pattern of this world. Romans 12:1. How many know this? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So we're supposed to keep our bodies holy too. Our body is what? It is the container for the Holy Spirit. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as his temple, I have to keep myself pure. Amen? That means I need to be sexually pure. All right? When you offer your body back to the Lord, what you're really saying is I'm giving all of me to the Lord. It's a full offering. You just don't give God pieces of you. Jesus gave all for us. We are to give all back to him. It is our reasonable service. What is a living sacrifice? Well, it implies that the giver presents their life completely back to God and releases all claims or rights to it. It means the giver gives their life completely back to God and releases all claims or rights to it. Now, you remember under the old covenant, an animal would be set apart, it was slain, the blood was collected, the blood was shed, right? And the body was fully consumed on the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar. It was a whole burnt offering. The body was what? Presented onto the altar to be fully consumed. Come on. How many know our Lord Jesus offered himself fully to God? Amen? As if he had no claim on himself. Jesus offered himself back to God even to the point of the cross. Paul instructed the Romans to offer their bodies back to God as living sacrifices. He wanted them to devote themselves fully to God as if they had no claim on themselves. So I want to talk this morning a little bit about what true repentance is, what it looks like. We know repentance is changing one's mind, right? Or we may say it's turning and doing an about face, changing direction. Hallelujah. So it means I change my mind to the degree that my entire life is changed. I mean, when I got saved, I got saved good, if you will. How many know what I'm talking about? You got saved good. You weren't going back anymore. Okay, now I had a few experiences prior to that where I made deals with God. Anybody done that before? God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this for you. But that's not true repentance. That's just saying I'm in a mess and I want out of this thing. And many people will do that, and God in his mercy will help them out. But then as soon as they're out of the problem, they're away from God again. They're no longer calling on him. But God wants us, amen, to be fully his, just like a bride is to give herself fully to the bridegroom. She's not to cheat on the bridegroom. She's not to have other lovers. Come on. We are to have eyes for only him. No other gods before him. So repentance is changing your mind to the degree that your life changes. It's a transformation. My mind is changed when I'm repentant. It means I begin to control my thought life. Amen? I'm miserable if I don't control my thought life. How many know what I'm talking about? You start getting off into wrong thoughts, and all of a sudden the conviction comes in, you feel miserable. The Holy Spirit, praise God, he convicts us when we allow our minds to wander into places we shouldn't be. When I'm repentant, my judgment is changed as well. I now do those things that are honest, that are fair. I no longer tell lies. Because I've repented. Come on. When I've repented, it means my will has also changed. I now will to do what he wills. Yeah. My interests have changed. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. That's what we're told to do, right? My behavior has also changed. I now discipline myself to do those things that please the Lord. I don't like to do things that displease the Lord anymore. I can't be comfortable in that anymore. My lifestyle has changed. When a person is truly repentant, all these things happen. Their lifestyle. Is there a witness here today? That these things begin to happen in your life. You have a different idea. You have a different desire, a different passion, a different goal in life. Your behavior's changed. Your interests have changed. My lifestyle has changed. I now live a life that honors the Lord. Even my motives changed. I now do things for the right reason, not for selfish reasons. Mm-hmm. My plans, how about your plans? My plans have changed. I commit all my ways to the Lord now. I acknowledge Him first. So again, repentance means I completely turn away from sin and follow Jesus. It's not enough just to confess sins and be baptized in water. There must also be the fruits of repentance. If it's genuine repentance, then your life will bear the fruit of genuine repentance. If it's just a mental assent to say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe Jesus died for me, that's wonderful. The devil believes that too. The demons believe that. But it's godly sorrow that works repentance. It leads us to a place of repentance, of brokenness before God, an acknowledgement that I am sinful and that I am lost and that I am in desperate need of God's mercy. So I come to the only one that can save me, and I ask God to be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. And God forgives me. Amen. And God, because He sees that I am being honest about my situation. I'm not up there saying, God, look what I've done. Look how I've been such a good person. Well, God says, what about that over there? And what about that over there? You see, none of us can boast before God. Amen. All we can say is, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your mercy. Even my motives are changed. My plans have changed. I commit all my ways to the Lord. I acknowledge Him first. What was John's baptism? Remember John, the forerunner of Jesus? It was a baptism of repentance, right? And so there were disciples even in the early church in the book of Acts, amen, that were baptized under John. All right? And what does that mean? That meant that they did come to a place where they realized that they were sinful and that they needed to make some changes. So they came confessing their sins. And they were baptized, right? In Matthew 3:1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these were religious leaders, coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers. Now, these are the ones that were supposed to be the holy ones. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. So there was a conviction going on here, wasn't there? But he says it's not enough just to say, I'm sorry. How many know you've heard the illustration of somebody slapping somebody in the face and say, oh, I'm so sorry I did that. Right? And you say, well, okay, I guess I forgive you. Boom, and then you smack him again. Well, was that true repentance? No, it wasn't. You weren't really sorry because you continued to do that. True repentance means that I'm done with sin. I'm done with the world. I'm done with the flesh. I'm done with the devil. I'm going to start living my life for Jesus, and I'm going to rely upon Him for the grace to do so. Come on. It's not in my own strength. Amen. It's not by my own works, but it's by the grace of God that I'm saved. Amen. It's by the grace of God that I'm kept. And it's by the grace of God I am who I am today. So if we're going to boast, let's give our boast to God and say, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done in my life. Thank God for that. Amen. Jesus preached repentance. The reason I'm saying this is because there's a lot that are It's being said today online, on the internet, in different pulpits where repentance is not necessary. Just believe, they say. But that does not line up with the scripture. Because we need to ask the question, what does it mean to believe then? Believe on him. Believe on Jesus. What was his example? Come and follow me, he said, right? I've laid an example for you. I've set an example for you. I want you to walk in my footsteps. I want you to follow my example. Amen. Even though Jesus was sinless, he was also baptized, was he not? By John. To fulfill all righteousness. Jesus said this in Luke 13 and 6. He spoke a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down." Now, we know that the fig tree is Israel. God's vineyard is the world. God looked for fruit on the tree, but he found none. And so he said to the vine dresser, who is what? The Lord Jesus, that he had looked for fruit from the tree for 3 years and found none. How long was Jesus' ministry? 3 years. Amen? And they had been given sufficient time to produce fruit. But the vine dresser, Jesus, did something. It says that he intervened, or he interceded in verse 8. He said, "Sir, let it alone this year also," that's the fourth year, "until I dig around it and fertilize it." Amen. And so God in his mercy gave Israel one more year. Amen. It is exactly what had happened. It was the fourth year when the people said, "Crucify him." They rejected him. They crucified the Lord Jesus. And as a result, its capital, amen, Jerusalem, was destroyed and the people were scattered. Now, how does this relate to us today? God's calling all people to repentance. He's waiting patiently for the fruit of the earth. In his mercy, he holds back his judgment and offers people an opportunity to repent and to turn to him for mercy. Acts 17:30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Jesus revealed the Apostle John that there were seven deadly sins that will be prevalent in the end times. I believe we're living in the end times. And that many people will refuse to forsake these sins. What we're witnessing is a hardness and an indifference to the Lord. And even when life gets difficult for people, they're turning to everything else except the Lord right now. There are those who belong to the Lord, and God will save those who will call upon him. Amen. But these sins are listed out, and we're going to look at this in Revelation 9:20. The first one is demon worship. Two is idolatry, murder, magic arts or witchcraft, sexual immorality, theft, and refusal to repent. So the Lord revealed to John that even during the time when God was pouring out his fierce judgment on the earth, many would still refuse to repent. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm looking at some of these people that are in political positions, high political positions, and they're living such hedonistic lives. They're living such sinful and debased lives. Amen. And I'm thinking, and some of them are very old now. It's like you got one foot on a banana peel. You know how it goes. And they should be taking a look at their soul and say, well, what's going to happen to me when I take my last breath? Do you understand that God is not willing that they should perish either? God is not willing that anyone should perish. We should be praying for them, amen? That they will come to their senses, that they will escape the snare of the fowler. The devil has got them trapped. He's got them deluded. He's got them blind, amen? So that they can't see. But somebody prayed for us. Somebody interceded for us, amen? And because of that, God in his mercy reached out and he brought conviction by his Holy Spirit. And he brought us to an awareness of our own sinfulness and our need of God's mercy, and we called upon the name of the Lord, amen, and he forgave us. Hallelujah. I don't like what I see happening, and I know you don't either. But you know what? There's only one that can really change that situation. Yes, I believe in being involved as much as we can, but how many know that what we're dealing with is not flesh and blood? Principalities, powers, spirits, hosts of wickedness in high places, right? It's a spiritual battle that we're engaged in, amen? And God has called us to the fight. God has called us to stand in the gap, to be a resistance force in the earth. He's given us his weapons. His weapons are not carnal or of human origin, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, amen? God wants us to proclaim the truth, amen? This is a truth war. And people need to understand that God calls all men everywhere now to repent. Why? Because he has set a day aside. There's an appointed time in which he shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained. And he has given us assurance of this and that he has raised him from the dead. Jesus is coming. The bridegroom is coming. And he's coming for a bride. He's coming for a people that have repented and turned to him and have received his cleansing. Come on. And are ready to stand before the king. And this idea that you don't need to repent, all you got to do is believe and you still live like the devil, they have not even understood what it really means to be born again. When you are born again, the Bible says you become a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new desire, amen? A new motivation within you. You want to do the things that please the Lord. You hate it when you slip up. You're miserable when you sin. You turn to God right away and say, Lord, please forgive me. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, if the seed of God is in you, you cannot habitually live a life of sin. And yet there are people that are being told that they're saved because they said some prayer. Amen. But they've never repented. They never come to the end of themselves. They never come to godly sorrow. They never come to a realization that I'm the problem, not everybody else. God brought me to a place in my life where he made sure I knew I was the problem. That I was the one that was the mess. Because I was good at pointing fingers at everybody else and comparing myself to everybody else until God showed me a good look at myself. And it's like a Rolodex of all the things that I did in my life, and I was just completely blown away. I was undone. I was crushed. I was broken. And I said, oh God, have mercy. God met me in that moment when I truly came to the end of myself and I was ready to give my life, to offer my body back to God as a living sacrifice. No more rights. I belong to him now. I'm his property now. I'm his bride. Amen. We are in covenant. I'm supposed to be living my life now for the one that's coming. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to be being purified right now. That means when God says no, it's no. And when God says yes, it's yes. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. I want to be one. I want to walk in harmony with him. I want to be faithful to the faithful one. I want to please him. Because you want to please the people you love. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you love Jesus, you obey him. You don't want to grieve the one you love. And it's not because, oh, I got caught, I'm grounded now, I'm in trouble. No, it's because I grieved the heart of the one who loves me. That's David's heart, you see, when he repented. The idea that one can be justified by embracing Christ as Savior while refusing Him as Lord is a dangerous error. Repentance and faith are inseparable. Turning to Christ in faith is impossible without first turning away from sin and repentance. I turn away from sin and I turn to Jesus. The proof of true repentance, again, is a changed life. When a person truly repents, their entire life is lived differently. In Acts 19:18, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. I don't know, I've heard, saw different amounts of money today, $9,000 to $10,000, something like that. That's not the point. The point is that they came confessing, and they come bearing the fruits of repentance, saying, I used to live this way. I used to do dope. I used to be a witch. I used to be a slut, whatever the word might be, okay? I'm no longer that anymore. Praise God, I've been redeemed. Amen. I've been purchased by God. From now on, I'm going to live a life that honors God, that pleases God, because I want to please the one that I love. Amen. And I don't want to grieve his heart anymore. I'm repentant, and I'm bearing the fruit of repentance. Amen. And let me give you an example from history. Back in the 70s, I was a teenager. So now you know about how old I am. Some of you are younger. No, maybe a few. I don't know. Most of you are older than that. But so now we're dating you too, right? But I remember my mom came back from a meeting where they were talking about, you know, the satanic messages and the rock, rock bands and their music, the rock music, right? And there was this big thing to warn people about the stuff that's going on and the message that's being presented in the music, you know. Well, I was into like Zeppelin and Aerosmith and Black Sabbath and David Bowie. I even had a Bowie album that was The Man That Fell to Earth, it was called. It was all about Lucifer. And that was one of my favorite albums. And I was like really in the dark, and I was in rebellion at that time. And so my mom even said, listen, I'll even pay you to burn those records. So I did what a good teenager would do. I took the ones that I was willing to get rid of, and I sold them back to her. But the other ones I hang on to. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, because that is false repentance. I'm only partially repenting. Lord, I'll let you have this. You can have that. I don't really care too much about that anyways. But this here, oh no, I don't want to let go of that. Are you hearing me? And it was the very thing that I was willing to hold on to, that I wanted to hold on to, that kept me trapped in that world and that life. And I got deeper and darker as time went on, and actually ended up getting involved with the occult before my conversion. Because I refused to repent when I had an opportunity to repent, and I wish I had done then what I did later. I wish I had repented at that time, and I had heeded the instruction. But I'm here to tell you that there are people that live like that. They give God some. They're willing to make a bargain with God. You know, I'll give you my spare change. I'll give you maybe my weekend, maybe a Sunday, whatever it is. You know, but the rest of the time is mine. That's not what Jesus paid, he paid for us, didn't he? God wants us to give him the whole offering. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That means all of you, all of my life. And the reason why many people struggle and they don't have victory and they're constantly up and down like a roller coaster is for that very reason, is that they're not willing to give God all. They're not willing to entrust their whole life to Jesus. They're just willing to make an arrangement, a deal with God. If God, you get me out of this, then I'll do this for you. And you know how often that fails, doesn't it? Because people are just not really willing to give their lives away. And yet that's exactly what God calls people to, is to surrender their life to Him, to give their life. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. So true repentance is coming to the end of myself. You're not ready for Jesus until you're done with sin, till you're done with your way, with your life. Are you hearing me? I got to the point where I didn't want my life anymore. I hated my life in this world. Are you hearing me? I hated my life in this world, and I came to that place of surrender. And I tell you, there is nothing like the grace of God, amen, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God. And He met me in my bedroom, and I had that shower on the inside, and everything was different. I didn't know exactly what had happened, but things had changed. All of a sudden, I had a desire. I remember when I was a teenager, I had a little beat-up red Bible, amen. That thing had been collecting dust for years. It was stored away in a box somewhere. All of a sudden, I came out of that bedroom, I'm like, where's that Bible at? Where's that Bible at? And I started devouring that Bible. Why? Because something had changed. I had been born again. Why? Because I'd come to the end of myself, amen, and I was ready now to give my whole life to Jesus. And that's where the journey really began for me. Prior to that, it was a roller coaster ride of trying to get things straightened out right with God. Amen. But I wasn't willing to give God my all. How many know if you're in a relationship with somebody, you're planning to get married to somebody, it's not okay for them to just be part-time with you. We are betrothed to be married. We are engaged to be married. Amen. That means that my life is going to be for you and your life is going to be for me. I'm not going to have any other lovers in this relationship. Amen. And that's what God is calling his people to have that kind of relationship with him, to where we live a life that honors him. Amen. We want to honor the one that we love. And so you understand that there will be the evidence, the fruit of true repentance. How many know that faith without works is dead? That's what it's talking about. Not works for salvation, but the works will be the result of salvation. What did they do? They made a public confession of their faith, and even a public demonstration of their faith, by gathering up all their books that dealt with witchcraft and the occult, and they burned them in a great bonfire. Yep. Feelings of remorse. Sorrow for sin. Have you been there? Yeah. But listen, if your feelings of remorse and sorrow for sin are generated by fear of punishment, without the resolve to forsake sin, then it's not true repentance. Feelings of remorse and sorrow for sin generated by fear of punishment without the resolve to forsake sin is not repentance. When David was exposed, and David came to a place where he was so miserable because of his sin. You remember when he had the adulterous relationship with Bathsheba? And it was eating him alive. He was miserable. And finally, he came to a place where he says, I can't do this anymore. I can't live with this anymore. In Psalms 51, this is true repentance. Are you ready for this? Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. You see? He was grieved that he had grieved the heart of God. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you, is what it means. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. You see, that's why I'd committed my life to tell other people about Jesus. Because of what he did for me. Because of his mercy. And I know if he's done it for me, he can do it for you. Amen. If he can forgive me, he can forgive you. And you and I who are in Christ today, we have that witness within us, don't we? And God wants us to share with others what he's done for us in our lives. Just like David said, Lord, I'm going to bear some fruit here of repentance. I'm going to teach your ways to rebels. I'm not going to continue to do what I did. I'm done with that life. I'm done with the way I was. Amen. And they, he said, will return to you. The time of God's grace is running out. And so today is a day of decision. How many know that God will not be mocked? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Romans 12:1, I finish with this. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what we're called to do today. Have you done that already? Have you given your life fully to Jesus? God says, I don't want part of you. I don't want a part-time love affair. I want all of you. I want your whole life. Give me your body, and I'll have the rest of you. Amen. It all comes together. One package. Give God your body. Say, Lord, it's yours. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I would totally say amen to that, right? Yeah. It's our reasonable service to live our lives for Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for all you've done for us. I thank you for the redemption that is in your blood. I thank that you were willing to go to the cross to pay the price that we deserve to pay. That you were our substitute and that you died for us, Lord. Today, Father, I pray as we enter into this time, Lord, of celebrating. Really, and looking forward and recommitting ourselves to you once again. Renewing our vows to you once again today, Lord. God, that you will just honor our time together, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, overshadow each one of us right now, captivate our hearts and our minds. And Lord, I pray right now, if there are any here this morning, Lord, would you take a moment to bow your head that need to surrender something in their life, an area of rebellion, of resistance to what you know to be the will of God for you? Would you just right now make it clean, come clean with God and confess that to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm asking you for the grace right now to make the decision that I need to repent of this thing and to come clean. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I ask you to help me now. If you're here today and you're holding on to any kind of grudge or unforgiveness towards anyone, I want you to ask the Lord right now to reveal it to you. If there's someone that you need to forgive that person, Jesus said, from your heart. You need to let them go. Even as God forgave you, so you must also forgive one another. So Lord, grant us right now the grace of repentance. Lord, if there's any sin in my life, I ask you to blot it out. I ask you to purge me, to cleanse me, and to renew in me a steadfast spirit, a heart that is loyal to you. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, overshadow each heart and mind here today. Turn to him now. If God has shown you somebody that you need to forgive. You can do it right here and now. I want you to speak to that person and tell them, I forgive you. You're free to go. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled. In Jesus' name, I release you. Just let him go. Let him go. And Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you, Lord, that you have called me. You chose me. And you appointed me as your own. You set me apart for you. And I believe that you're coming for me, Lord. You're coming to receive your bride. Lord, I pray that your church will be holy, without spot. It will be pure. That our garments will be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And will be faultless to stand before your throne. That we'll have full confidence in that day. Because as you were in this world, so are we. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I have decided, would you say it, to follow Jesus. No turning back. I'm all yours, Lord. I'm all yours. Lord, I accept the demands of this contract. That I'm yours. And you are mine. Everything I have is yours. Everything you have is mine. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great mercy, for the blood of your sacrifice, that you went to that cross to shed your blood for my forgiveness, and that you were broken for my healing. Lord, I pray today as we partake of these elements that you'd release your healing upon the body, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he broke it, he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this and remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. I receive the merits of your sacrifice. Be healed in Jesus' name. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till what? Till he comes. The bridegroom is coming. We raise this and say, Lord, I raise the cup in agreement with the contract. I say, yes, I receive you. Thank you for receiving me. I am yours, and you are mine. Amen. Thank you for forgiveness today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you once again for the time we've had together this morning. For those of like precious faith that have gathered here, Lord, for the witness of your Spirit, Lord, and your Word. And Lord, we thank you that you receive us and that you go with us, Lord, no matter where we are. You are there. You are faithful and true. And Lord, I thank you that you have committed yourself to us and you are faithfully committed. So therefore, Lord, we faithfully commit ourselves to you. And we thank you for the grace, your grace that will keep us, that will preserve us, unto your heavenly kingdom. I pray, Father, for your will to be done in each one of our lives. Until we meet again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.